help some of their bell ringers that were in need. And that's how I started. In Colorado, as far as my career, I was working at a C-level position for a large corporation with construction and development, and surrendered to the Lord and said, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore with my life, and resigned from that position and waited for the Lord to bring an opportunity to me that was a fit for my life, for my vision, for what the Lord was calling me to do, to serve and help others in need.
Welcome to the Generosity Now podcast, where we bring you inspiring stories of generosity and whole life stewardship. Our goal is to showcase individuals and organizations making a positive impact in our communities and across the globe. I'm your host, Eric Most, president of the National Christian Foundation, Rocky Mountain Region, and I'm joined by my incredible co-host, Lori Bossert, VP on our team. Lori, how are you doing today?
It's a wonderful day. What a great opportunity we have just to be able to have Shannon with us.
Absolutely. We're kicking off a new series where we're highlighting organizations to help solve some of your biggest giving frustrations. In episode one of the series, we'll be talking with Shannon Hawkins Morse with Helping Hands. This ministry is set up to allow grants from donor-advised funds to go to individuals in crisis. As a reminder, from a donor-advised fund, you're only able to grant to 501c3s or recognized charities. But when your friend down the street, their house burns down, you're not able to grant to them from those dollars normally. Or if you have a coworker that's facing some type of medical emergency that's not covered by insurance, this is where Helping Hands steps in. So in today's episode, we have the privilege of introducing you to Shannon Hawkins Morse, Vice President of Helping Hands. Shannon, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Eric. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Shannon, would you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself? Where'd you grow up? What was family life growing up? And tell us about how you came to know the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Growing up in Louisville, Kentucky was a huge blessing in my life and has definitely molded me into the servant that I am today for the Lord. And I'm so grateful for the opportunities that I had there to learn from people on how to give and how to love others and how to give myself as Christ gave to us. And that is my goal in life. And that is what I saw growing up. So I know that's not the case for everyone. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity. So I'll start with my grandmother because she recently passed away. And I heard a story about her that has touched my heart. And my aunt was taking care of her in her final days down in Florida. And my grandmother, if you know her, her name was Shirley. And she gave so generously, even to her last day. She had to wait for the postman to come, and she would wait in the car with her oxygen tank and the air conditioning in Florida and have $20 bills in envelopes to go into the mail to people that she knew back home in Kentucky that were in need. And she would wait there every day and wait for the postman to come to those letters that went out. And my aunt said, you know, I can't believe that she couldn't even talk anymore. And she was sending that money out to people. And so going back home for her funeral in August last year, it was really humbling to see the community come together in appreciation of her. And what we found out, which we didn't know, is that she gave so much. So it was not large amounts of money or time, but her resources and what she taught me about what our true resources are. You know, our resources are not just our money. It's our time. It's our heart. It's what we're filling our minds with, what we're doing with that. And we're called by God to do this. And she lived that out every single day, every moment, every resource that she had. So at her funeral, people were coming. My mom had, when she went over to her home, she had hundreds of angels, of little angel statues. And she said, what am I going to do with all of these angels? So she brought them to the funeral home and placed them all around tables and wherever she could, wherever there was a surface. We had statues of angels because these are gifts that people would have given back to my grandmother and said, you know, this reminds me of you. And seeing people come in and their stories about her just was so touching that my mom asked them to take an angel back that they had given to her. And all of those angels were gone. People took those angels and was able, you know, to use that as a reminder of her love and her generosity and her devotion to the Lord to use all of her resources up until the day that she passed to help others in need. So anyway, that is what I grew up with.
Jean, and that's a beautiful story. And thanks for sharing about your grandmother. As Eric had said in the introduction, you're the vice president of Helping Hands. Can you tell us a little bit more about the ministry of Helping Hands? And also when you include that, include, you know, how Colorado's chapter had started and include some of that for us and our listeners.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lori. Absolutely. So Helping Hands is a 501c3 organization that receives contributions from individuals and organizations. And in turn, we organize projects to help individuals who qualify as poor and needy or are in financial distress. We provide this assistance and we serve those who provide for common good through these approved projects so that individuals or families will be more financially stable and able to contribute to society. And it has been my privilege to do this for Helping Hands. I started in December of 2021 and with some projects with the Salvation Army. We partnered with them to help some of their bell ringers that were in need. And that's how I started. In Colorado, as far as my career, I was working at a C-level position for a large corporation with construction and development, and surrendered to the Lord and said, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore with my life, and resigned from that position and waited for the Lord to bring an opportunity to me that was a fit for my life, for my vision, for what the Lord was calling me to do, to serve and help others in need. And Helping Hands came along. The Lord just blessed that opportunity and gave that to me. And I'm so grateful for that. Helping Hands is a wonderful organization with servants of the Lord helping give to those in need. And they asked me to open our office in Colorado in 2022. In January, we opened that in Northern Colorado Springs. So I serve in Denver and in Colorado Springs, and I reside in Golden. So we help individuals in Colorado, all over the country, and all over the globe.
And there's only one other office of Helping Hands, is that correct?
No, we have two offices. We have one in Tallulah Falls, Georgia, and we also have our corporate office, which is in Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah, tell us, the life of Helping Hands and NCF, like the histories and the stories, are very intertwined. And so we share a common founder in Terry Parker. And so would you share a little bit of the history of Helping Hands, why it was birthed, and just a general overview of the, like, how you guys do the work that you do?
Yes. Helping Hands started as a branch off of the National Christian Foundation by a common founder of NCF, Terry Parker. Based on needs that he saw where individuals needed help, a single mom in need of resources, someone who's sick, someone who had a job loss. And so at Helping Hands, we follow IRS codes and guidelines to provide individuals assistance and help them through financial hardships. And we do this by qualifying the need. So we help people give to others in need to help them through financial crisis, to provide assistance in ways that other organizations cannot through Helping Hands.
That's great. Would you give us some examples of that? You know, not talking about, you know, giving personal individual, like, you know, call outs, but what are some examples of some ways that the folks have been able to give through Helping Hands to help individuals in need?
Yes, Eric. So Helping Hands helps givers give to individuals that are in their circle, that are in their neighborhood, that they work with, like coworkers, anyone that they hear that is in need, then they can refer them to Helping Hands to see if they'll qualify for a project. Givers can use funds through a donor advice fund to fund the project if that individual is qualified to receive assistance from a charity. Helping Hands has a process of due diligence to qualify individuals and families in need so that givers have peace of mind that their dollars are going to a true needy situation, and we pay bills on behalf of those individuals direct to providers, to healthcare providers, or to whatever the need is for that individual.
Shannon, we can even talk about my friends that had a great need. They had a surprise medical situation with an extreme cancer diagnosis that was stage 4, and they had no jobs that had insurance. So they were in a dire need of getting some serious help and being able to attack this cancer situation that they were going through without having, often many of us here in the U.S. have insurance that covers that. And so we were able to bring them to Helping Hands. You helped walk through that due diligence process with them in being able to certify putting this project together. So can you unpack a little bit more of the due diligence process for our listeners to understand some of that?
Yes, Lori. So the projects that come to us as a referral, we will contact those individuals. We usually say to the giver or the person referring that individual or family to us, we consider them an advocate on the behalf of the person that is in need. And that can be, like you said, Lori, someone going through cancer, someone in an adoption process that's needing funding. That can be someone going through a hardship of a job loss. And going through that process with individuals is very special. So we will reach out to that individual in need, asking them if they will provide some financial information to us so we can qualify them for a project with Helping Hands. And going through that process, we learn about their situation. So we verify that this is a true needy situation through them, with them, and then we will tell the giver that we have qualified them as a project with Helping Hands, opening up the project for others to give to Helping Hands into this project fund.
And those gifts, because Helping Hands is a 501c3, those gifts then into Helping Hands as a charity is then tax deductible, because Helping Hands is making the decision that this is a definite need. What a great gift you have to be able to help people in need.
It is a true gift for us to help others give to others in need. I tell you, every time I tell someone about Helping Hands and they say, well, what do you do? And I'm like, well, let me tell you about Helping Hands. They say, where have you been my whole life? Where has this organization been? Because it is a tax deduction for the giver to give to Helping Hands, and qualifying individuals for projects is something that Helping Hands takes very seriously through our due diligence process. And because the recipient of these dollars, this is charitable dollars that they're receiving. So this is non-taxable income for them as well. So it's a win-win situation for everyone. And it is a true gift, Lori, as you said, to be able to help others, give to individuals in need, things that are directly on their heart, things that come into their circle. They say, gosh, I really want to help this individual. They're not part of a nonprofit. How do I help them? How do I help my neighbor that was just in a car accident, and I know they have a $2,000 deductible, or look at their car, how can we help them? They just came home in a wheelchair. They need a handicap van. Let's see if Helping Hands can help by qualifying them as a project with Helping Hands. And then donors can give through their donor advised funds and to this project to help them direct. And we pay bills on the recipient's behalf direct to the lenders to pay for their rent, to pay their mortgage, their car payment, insurances, medical bills, tuition, whatever it may be, we pay direct to those providers.
And that due diligence really is also helping, because we sometimes as friends don't really know someone's financial issue or financial situation. And that's where Helping Hands also is able to, as that a separate organization, to be able to ask some of those hard questions. Because I would imagine every now and then you actually have to not qualify a project that has been brought to you.
Yes, we do. We do have to say no sometimes. We do get referrals to us for projects. And after looking into that situation, we realize that this is not a true needy situation. And so we will we'll tell them that we're not able to help them through a project through Helping Hands. And people might use other organizations such as GoFundMe, which is a for-profit organization. And that is clearly not what we are. We are a charity and we have charitable dollars that we are responsible for distributing into situations for individuals and families that are in true need.
Great. Shannon, can you, I'm thinking about a couple other examples that we've talked about in the past. And so don't know if you could shed some light on it, but two that come to mind is that you had somebody that was really broken about some of the schools that are in their community, and they wanted to be able to provide shoes for all the kids. And these are kind of more of a low-income school. Could you tell us a little bit about that project? And then I think a second one that I'd love to hear more about, and this is partly just to give people ideas of what can be done through Helping Hands. Another one is, I believe that there's been some people that have been really burdened about some pastors who really did, had not had the ability to develop some retirement funds and some things like that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is that another project that you guys have been able to help with?
So we do special projects for givers that say that they can come to us and say, you know what, I really want to help out my community. I don't want to start my own nonprofit, but I have a heart for a certain school system in my community, and I would like to see what that school needs. And so we can create projects based on need for schools, for organizations, for missions based on that. Eric, the project that you're mentioning was a shoe project that we did for an elementary school in Southern Colorado Springs, where most of the kids there, they've never received a new pair of shoes before. They've never received anything new. And we found about this organization through a referral, through speech pathologist that was serving over at the school. And he said, you know, I'm working with the kid that, you know, didn't come to school with shoes today. And the more and more I see this, the more that I would love to do something about this. And so they combined with other givers in the community to serve and give to fund this project, this shoe project that we did for this community. We were very grateful. It was wonderful to see all the smiles of the kids, and really it impacted the entire school and the teachers. So we are able to do special projects like that based on need, and that we've done several of those in the community throughout Colorado. Now, talking about another project, we actually have a fund called the Shepherd's Fund, where pastors who do not have medical insurance can apply for reimbursement of medical expenses through Helping Hands. And that's a really special program that we have, and it's a large program. And so that's another thing that we can do. Basically, anything that you think of that's on your heart, bring it to Helping Hands. If it can be done in a tax-deductible way, we will do it. So, Lori, going back, talking about something that you mentioned about how Helping Hands also helps givers give to individuals and gives them a peace of mind. They're helping hands-on, giving someone a hand up, but it's a little bit at arm's length for them. They're not directly in the day-to-day. They aren't asking for them for a verification of their situation. Helping Hands does that for the givers. We verify the need, and so they know that this is a true situation that we've done our due diligence on. So that gives them a peace of mind to give to the situation. And it also gives them some space from the situation and helps them with it, you know, obviously if they want to give anonymously, then they can do that also. So it really helps them give to individuals.
Shannon, as a point of clarity, can somebody who's the advocate who wants to be a giver, do you keep that private from the person that's they're asking to be able to help through Helping Hands?
Yes, if they choose to remain anonymous, then we do that. If they choose not to, then we can let the recipient know that where the referral came from.
That is helpful, I think, for people to know. So I appreciate that. Yeah. I'd also like to ask you about how Helping Hands and Provision Bridge work together with businesses?
Yes, Lori, that is a program through Helping Hands Charitable called our Corporate Assistance Program, where we help organizations give to their employees and their community through a corporate assistance program giving fund. And that works much like the church's benevolence program. So organizations can donate to Helping Hands, and we provide assistance as a needy situation comes up to their employees or to the individuals in their community based on need. So let me walk you through what that would look like. So an organization comes to Helping Hands and says, you know, I would love to set up a benevolence program for our community, for employees and their family members. How do I go about doing that? They would, if they don't already have a donor advised fund, then we have an organization for that called Provision Bridge, which is a foundation where they can set up a donor advised fund, and then those monies can be transferred over to the Helping Hands projects. So Helping Hands Charitable would set up a corporate assistance program for that organization. So for example, an organization, let's say fencebuilding.com, they are a construction company and they would like to set up a benevolence type program, a giving fund for their organization, for their employees and their community. Through Helping Hands Charitable, we help them set up a program that meets their giving needs while also satisfying the needs of the community. So we use the same process for due diligence for the corporate assistance program. Organizations can give into their fund each year, and we take those charitable dollars at Helping Hands, and we help employees, we help their family members, however the organization wants to set up their program. Employees give into the fund also. We ask about 30% of employee involvement, or we set up the program where the employer says, I don't want to ask my employees to give into this fund. I want to give to the fund. And if that's the case, then the employer will need to give to the community also. So they might decide 30% of the money that we give in is going to the community, and they decide as a committee where that money will go, and Helping Hands will distribute that money for them.
And that's really helping mitigate the risk for the business that they're not just helping their employees. And that's why using a third party as Helping Hands and Provision Bridge is a huge help to those businesses to be able to do this process to truly help their employees that are in need and the community in need.
Yes, that's true. That is a wonderful benefit for the organization, for the employees. You know, employees today, they want to be a part of something bigger than just where they're working. They want to be a part of a community. They want to know that they are cared for and loved, and employers want to do that also. And a lot of cases when I talk to CEOs, they say, you know, I want to help my employees individually. I want to help them more. I want to help them with their needs. And they might be writing a check to them to help them through a situation. Well, this way, having a corporate assistance program allows Helping Hands to verify the need and process that request for them through their corporate assistance program. It's just a wonderful tool for companies to serve their employees, to serve their community.
Shane, we have multiple givers that have for their businesses set up these corporate assistance plans with Helping Hands, and it really is a joy. Some of them, they set up the parameters on the front end of saying, like, these are the types of things that we're willing to also help fund. I know one that it's like, hey, if there's a death of a family member or an employee, there's an automatic grant that effectively you guys verify. This still has the due diligence, but it's like that's something that they want to do instantly and help people out in a very practical way. You know, here at actually NCF, we actually have a fund ourselves. We call it the Love Gives Fund, and employees of the National Christian Foundation can actually reach out and request and utilize this fund. And I've heard that it's been used for people that have actually had medical expenses or medical where they ran out of time off. And they were able to so they had no more paid time off. They were actually able to apply and get some funds and some assistance from there. We've also heard about the Love Gives Fund helping people with adoptions and other aspects. And so really, really love the work that you all do in through those corporate assistance plans. They've been actually practical to team members at NCF, and I know many other businesses. And so as we have listeners who are thoughtful kind of business leaders. And it's like, hey, I want to do more as it relates to generosity within my own workplace. A part of the puzzle can be opening up the giving fund and doing some corporate giving into that, but then also having a corporate assistance plan set up for your own team and their family and the community is an incredible thing to do. And so we're really grateful for that partnership that we have with you as it relates to helping meet those needs for businesses and their team members.
We have over 250 corporate assistance programs now that we are working with organizations to serve their community, to serve their employees and the family members of the employees that are find themselves in times of need. As you said, memorial projects, if someone has had a death in the family, you can use their corporate assistance program and the employer can set that up and say, you know, I just want to give this family, let's say $5,000. They're going through this memorial. They're going through this death in the family. And we would like to offer them this during this time of need to help with memorial expenses. And a lot of corporate assistance programs are used for the memorial projects. As you said, maybe they have to take time off work and they don't have any more paid time off. They can use their corporate assistance program to supplement during that time. And certainly we can take care of the medical bills if they qualify for a project through the guidelines of the corporate assistance program. We walk organizations through setting up their corporate assistance program bylaws and keeping in mind that we're following IRS codes and tax guidelines on giving through a charitable organization.
Shannon, thanks so much for all of that. You have definitely educated our listeners, and we just appreciate the partnership that we have with Helping Hands. If folks have questions for you, how can they best get connected?
Lori, thank you so much. Anyone interested in learning more about Helping Hands can go to our website at hhmin.org or hhcharitable.org. So that's hhmin.org or hhcharitable.org. HH Charitable is the website where you'll find information about our corporate assistance program, and hhmin is our website for Helping Hands Ministry, and that will be setting up in projects for individuals in need.
Shannon, it's been so great having you on the podcast today. On the Generosity Now podcast, we do seek to inspire, equip, and connect our listeners for generous kingdom impact in whole life stewardship. For more information on us, please check us out at ncfgiving.com/Rocky Mountains and generositynow.org. Please go ahead and subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review and share it with your network. And Lori's got our doxology today out of Matthew chapter 25.
For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Shannon.
Yes, thank you so much. What a
Shannon
scripture.
Thanks for being here with us today. We really appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Anytime.